The whole of Gaul is divided into three parts, one of which the Belgae inhabit, the Aquitani another, and the third, a people who in their own language are called Celts, but in ours, Gauls. They all differ among themselves in respect of language, way of life, and laws. The river Garonne divides the Gauls from the Aquitani, and the Marne and Seine rivers separate them from the Belgae. Of these three, the Belgae are the bravest, for they are furthest away from the civilization and culture of the province. Merchants very rarely travel to them, or import such goods as make men's courage weak and womanish. They live, moreover, in close proximity to the Germans, who inhabit the land across the Rhine, and they are continually at war with them. For this reason, the Helvetii also exceed the other Gauls in bravery, because they are embroiled in almost daily battles with the Germans, either when they are warding them off from their own frontiers, or when they themselves take the fight into enemy territory. The land which the Gauls are said to occupy begins at the river Rhone and is bounded by the Garonne, the ocean, and the territory of the Belgae. The part of it inhabited by the Sequani and Helvetii reaches to the Rhine. This land has one frontier to the north. The Belgae come from the most distant regions of Gaul. Their lands extend to the lower part of the Rhine, facing north and east. Aquitania reaches from the Garonne to the Pyrenees, and that part of the ocean nearest Spain. It faces northwest. Among the Helvetii, by far the most aristocratic and the richest man was Orgetorix. During the consulship of Marcus Messala and Marcus Pupius Piso, his desire to become king led him to start a conspiracy among the aristocracy, and he persuaded all the citizens to leave their land in full force. It would be perfectly simple, he said, to win power over the whole of Gaul, so superior were they in courage to all the rest. He persuaded them the more easily because the Helvetii are hemmed in on all sides by the natural terrain, on one side by the Rhine, which is very broad and deep and separates the land of the Helvetii from the Germans, on another by the heights of the Jura mountain range, which stands between them and the Sequani, and thirdly by Lake Lemanus and by the Rhone, which separates them from our province. As a consequence, their freedom of movement was constrained, and their ability to wage war against their neighbours was also impaired. As they were so fond of waging war, this made the Helvetii very resentful. In comparison with the size of their population, their glorious reputation in war, and their courage, they considered their territory too restricted. It was 220 miles from north to south, and 165 from east to west. Mindful of these considerations, and at Orgetorix's instigation, the Helvetii decided to get ready everything they thought was needed for a migration. Buy up as many pack animals and wagons as they could, sow as much seed as possible to ensure a supply of corn on the journey, and to establish peaceful relations with neighbouring states. They considered that 2 years would suffice for these preparations and passed a law establishing their decision to migrate in the third year. Orgetorix was put in charge of organising the migration, and of his own accord he undertook an embassy to the Gallic states. Whilst on his travels, he persuaded one of the Sequani called Casticus, the son of Catamantalides, who had held the kingship over the Sequani for many years and been named a friend of the Roman people by the Senate, to seize the kingship in his own state, which his father had previously held. At the same time, he persuaded an Aeduan called Dumnorix to do likewise. Dumnorix's brother Divitiacus was at that time chief magistrate of the Aedui and a very popular ruler. Orgetorix also gave Dumnorix his daughter in marriage. He assured Dumnorix and Casticus that they would achieve their object with ease, especially since he would himself be seizing power among the Helvetii.